This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back, and we're going to continue to talk about some of the issues that in the New Orleans neighborhoods, one in particular, car burglaries and other issues dealing with juveniles. Jason Williams, a city council at large member, most importantly, chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee of the council. They have divided themselves up into committees where they kind of take on different areas that I think has been very effective. And I think they have brought a lot of things to the forefront for the benefit of not only you, the listening audience, but the taxpayers of the city of New Orleans. So we appreciate the time, Jason, and you coming in. We really appreciate that as well. We know you're busy.
Glad to be with you.
So, you guys, I think, hired Jeff Asher as a crime analyst, he used to do work for me, and he's good. He's great at what he does, so y'all have one of the best. To give you this information so that you can have your finger on the pulse of what's going on, and he reported out to y'all, I think, earlier this week or last week?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Thank you. On car burglaries in the neighborhoods and some of the increases. What was y'all's reaction to that?
Well, the good thing about Jeff, and you know this, he's very specific. And up until that point, I've been going to a number of neighborhood association meetings, hearing from the people about what experiences they're having, and then being able to tie that to the real data coming out of juvenile court about who's being arrested, who's been arrested more than once, and for what, and what the judges have done in those situations. It allowed us to have all the council members really look at a finite number and realize how many of that number are the repeat offenders, right? And so that we could very be strategic. And yesterday, a lot came out of yesterday's meeting. And one of the things that I brought up was something that a retired sheriff, now radio show host, told me about, which is a lot of times we think we know what's going on with the kids, and we really don't know until we listen to them. And it goes back to what you told me about that kid saying that hot meal he got from your program was one of the only meals he got. And that really puts a finer point on really what's going on. And so we know what the numbers are. We know there are deficits. The DA has rightfully and correctly said there are no programs for kids in between jail and release. The judges have said we need more programs to refer kids to. Parents are screaming the same way that citizens are screaming, my kid's out of control, I need help. And then you got some parents who just aren't parenting. So those programs, that's the bailiwick of the city council, is funding these programs, which may cost us a pretty penny to start off with. But when you say 45 kids, that's not a huge number.
No.
All those kids don't need the exact same program. Some kids can benefit from something that is less intensive, but some kids need supervision that is damn near around the clock because of what's going on in their home. And we're going to have another talk coming in our next Criminal Justice Committee meeting, having an expert come in and talk about the progress that has occurred with electronic monitoring. That technology is better than it's ever been before. Just like you can track an Uber, we can track a young offender when he is leaving his home. Mm-hmm. And it can even make a sound when he leaves a certain area so that he's embarrassed and gets embarrassed back to his home. And that message can go to the juvenile court judges and his supervisor. So we want to bring that tool into the mix. But we also want to do what you all did, which is invest in a robust continuum of programs that the judges have at their disposal to say, this is your second time, you got to go to this program. And when you mess up, it's jail.
So
if you mess up.
One of the reports talked about burglaries in a number of the neighborhoods. Some had over 100% increase in vehicle burglaries, a whole bunch between the 20 and 60% range in increases. And I think that's brought about the hue and cry in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I was just telling you leading up to coming on this morning that I had Judge Doherty on the other morning, and we talked about this follow-up. And I know that Lakeview, Gentilly Woods, Gentilly Terrace, a whole bunch of those neighborhoods are looking to see what's going to ultimately happen. And I asked what I thought was an apparent question.
Right.
Have y'all met as a system, all of the players, and kind of develop a template of right. what it is that each one is doing, why, when, how, where that funding's come from, is it the best utilization of the limited resources we have? And quite frankly, I guess I put him on the spot, but he said, no, we're not. And I said, well, do y'all have a meeting that's scheduled? He says, no. He goes, you know, we're talking about it. And I asked him, frankly, what is your confidence level that this is going to happen in the next 6 months and or something along those lines? And he said he didn't feel very confident. One of the reasons I asked you on the show today is that I really believe it has to be a council-led initiative.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the great work that y'all have done in this committee structure that y'all have adopted. Knowing that, you know, it's not a full-time job, but, you know,
But it is.
Right. And I understand, right. you know, the sacrifices that are made. But I just seen, in my humble opinion, that this is where it's got the momentum has to be maintained by the seven members of the council.
Your opinion is right. And what came out of the last Criminal Justice Committee meeting was that we were not going to do another Criminal Justice Committee meeting to have that convening, but we're going to have a special council meeting because it affects every district. Right now it's hitting Lakeview, the Lake area, actually, right. not just Lakeview, the entire Lake area, as well as New Orleans East and parts of the West Bank. But we're going to convene the juvenile court judges, the DA, the public defender's office for juvenile court, along with service providers. And we're also going to invite some people from some other parishes that are doing some really great work that is, in fact, working. One of the presenters at the Criminal Justice Committee meeting yesterday was Boys Town. Mm-hmm. And they've got group housing initiatives. They've got whole family initiatives where they basically put the entire family, not on probation, but they're counseling parents to be able to take this role on after they're no longer there. And so right now we've got funding for about 20 slots or 20 kids. And I think it's time that we contract with them to take on more. But that convening that you're talking about is going to have to happen. We're going to have it at a special council meeting with everyone there. It's probably going to be a long meeting. There might be some yelling. There might be some robust conversation to get to where we need to get. But the crazy thing is something we talked about offline. It just has never happened. And you can see the fragmented nature of our responses, and you can see that it's never happened. We have a Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, which is run by the commissioner that was once led by James Carter, then Calvin Johnson, and now Tanisha Stevens. But what that focuses on is how grant funding is going to be allocated amongst the criminal justice agencies. You have them all there, but there has not been a comprehensive strategy for our system. And if you don't have a system, it's an adversary system, but it's still a system. It's got to work, and it's got to have a roadmap about what's important. And right now, this is the most pressing thing.
Well, I think we do realize that intermediate sanctions is the future. There's not the desire, nor are there the assets or resources necessary to incarcerate everyone. And we're not going to incarcerate our way out of this problem. The problem, though, is that when I said this to the judge the other day, grants are good and bad.
Yeah.
They're very short term. And the expectation is that there's going to be the willingness, the desire, and the financial wherewithal to continue what you start with
right.
the grant.
Right.
It never happens.
City has to invest. I mean, if you're not putting money into something year in, year out, then you're basically saying it's not important.
Right. So is there a sense of frustration? I know there is for me, and I've brought it up several times, holistically, in looking at where the city spends all of its money and appropriately engaging in a prioritization process, I think we're beginning to see the outcomes, the frailties of an underfunded, undermanned city departments in, mm-hmm. in many respects. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have talked about police before. Right. We've not talked about fire, but obviously there's issues there.
Absolutely.
Same thing. They had a SAFER grant for 3 years. They got the numbers up. The grant runs out. They don't have an academy for 5 years under the previous administration. Right. Devastating results. Same thing happened in policing.
And there was a lot of warning.
Yeah, a lot of warning, a lot of consternation, and still it happened. And now you know this administration is caught short.
That's right.
But we engage in things and looking at activities that we have a desire to fund, and it would be great to fund those items, but we're seeing the ills. I mean, the safety department, for example, that comes up where we have people that aren't even qualified to go out and do the inspection, and they're doing the inspection. These
right.
are ailments of an underfunded, understaffed program.
Right.
So is there a thought process or dialogue going on in the council right now that of regrouping and reengineering and streamlining and just getting to – because what I hear from Lakeview, and I'm sure you're hearing it too, we just want the basic services funded and clicking on all cylinders.
So one of the things I've been doing, and the Lake area has been essential. Freddie Yoder and those guys over there have been very helpful just in terms of their level of organization. In fact, at that big meeting we had out there was people from New Orleans East, the West Bank.
Oh, they were from all
that was
over.
A city
yeah.
meeting.
Yeah.
It just was held there. And so what I'm hoping to institutionalize is a certain amount of citizen participation and advocacy with government, because it's important to really understand what's happening in a neighborhood rather than guessing and spitballing at the problem, and having people engage with that sort of policy making can make sure that we're putting things in place that can be of value. One of the things that's going to happen, it's coming before the council, not this Thursday, it'll go before the Smart Cities Committee, but it is a Smart Cities initiative that's going to put cameras, or that would put cameras on poles in the commercial corridor of Canal and Poydras, and help with traffic sensors. And that might seem very technical and unnecessary, but we spend a lot of manpower on having police officers direct traffic for big events, whether it's the big football games.
Well, that technology is utilized in every major city,
right.
New York, Chicago, where they can get in and manipulate.
I mean, speed up a red light,
sequencing
exactly.
and everything else in order to not have to put cops out there.
And when we put that in place, that's going to immediately allow us to put cops back into our neighborhoods so they can respond faster for calls for services. And so that's going to happen this year, and we're trying to look for every force multiplier we can. But let me just go back, take a step back on this thing. We talk about these car burglars and talk about juveniles specifically. This morning, I spent a couple hours talking to a group of kids, right? I had no idea if these kids were involved, had been involved, knew people that were involved, but I was shocked at how honest they were with me about what they know and have heard about in terms of why kids are doing what they're doing, when they're doing it, what the gain is. And I'm going to continue to do that. I reached out to Jamar McNeely, a school leader. He's going to help me get into some roundtable conversations with this demographic. This is not perpetrators. This is you may have some perpetrators in the room, you may not, but they know more than us when someone has done this thing.
No, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I oftentimes people talking about school campuses, and I said, look, a school campus is nothing more than a reflection of the neighborhood at large.
That's right. That's absolutely
right. One of the things when we did police on campus back in the 90s, people thought we were crazy in Jefferson Parish. Elton Lagasse was a superintendent, and kudos to him for taking on this initiative. The teachers didn't want it. The principals didn't want it. Nobody wanted it because they thought it was that they had said publicly that they had lost their campuses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that wasn't really the role. The role was really to develop a relationship with these students, these kids, because they know exactly what's going on in the neighborhood.
Invaluable. Invaluable knowledge.
And information is power, and they started sharing information, you know, anonymously, and then we overlaid that with the Crime Stoppers program, where there's now a hotline to call Crime Stoppers, and for you know the kids, they have an ambassadorship program that they run, and it yielded huge results for us in Jefferson Parish, where we just collected all of this information because they knew who was walking on the campus with a gun before we were ever going to know.
And how long and they've
before,
been doing it.
And before any school administrator That's was right. ever going to know.
That's right.
They knew.
That's right. And so I can tell you, in an hour and a half with young people, I learned more about this problem than I've learned from any meeting with any adult, any elected official, any judge, about the why, mm-hmm. right? And part of this thing is, because there was a time when this was not as prevalent as it is. And something has occurred. And one of the things that was shocking to me was that one young man stayed behind and explained to me that when after Katrina, when people were displaced from neighborhoods they had grown up, and you had people living in Mishu and Chalmette, but going to school on the West Bank or going to school on the East Bank and having all their friends and family in another part of town, one kid explained it to me as a transportation issue. Like, he knows a guy that took a car because he was trying to get back to his old neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to excuse it.
No.
But Councilmember Palmer has been working, and we've been trying to put together a plan to provide a pass for young people to use the RTA anywhere they need to go, given the fact that we have a school system that has kids living in one part of town and going to school in another.
And a challenge school bus service. I mean, there's been
more than you're being very nice saying a challenge school bus service, right? But yes, absolutely.
You know, I mean, which is another problem, you know, that has reared its ugly head as it relates to that issue. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. 260-1870 or text 870-870. Jason Williams is in the house, city council member at large and chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee, talking about a number of issues. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And you might have to shop around for an alternative way to get out to the east because they're moving floats across the high rise as we speak and the traffic is backed up. This that time of the year, folks, a little inconvenience for a lot of return. The greatest free show on earth, right?
Greatest show on earth. And I would say put on by the New Orleans Police Department. These guys, they do this better than any other place in the world.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that because I've been a number of other places, and they do a great job. So let's come back full circle to the question that I had asked when we got on this thing about prioritization. And as more and more of this is being revealed, and I think more and more as y'all exercise your oversight authority, I think there's probably more that's going to be revealed. And so how are you going to resolve these issues when we talk about undermanning, underfunded, and there's a pressure to have new departments, address new issues and things of that nature? When the Human Rights Commission thing came up and I looked at it and I investigated those across the country in Canada and others and looked at the collaboration between state and locals and locals and feds. There's a lot of infrastructure in place already. We're stretched. We're maxed out. Why are we looking to spend dollars in other places and the primary services, the money's just not there?
You know, we just celebrated our 300th birthday. San Antonio just celebrated theirs as well. And it's okay to be aspirational, and it's okay to look forward and figure out other things you want to do. But like every homeowner has to, before you put in fancy sound system, you got to make sure your plumbing, your electrical, the basic needs, the infrastructure is in place. And frankly, it's not right now, and it's not due to any one particular administration. You're talking about years of neglect. And one of the things that is that I plan to focus on for the remainder of my term on the council is civil service reform. People have to do a good job at work for all of the hours they're at work. And when you don't have a way to deal with bad employees, then you are hurting your good employees. And whether it's safety and permits, whether you pick it, you pick it. And that is the only way to make government work. And people are depending on government to work. I don't think people thought they had to come to City Hall to picket to make sure that basic services were maintained. But there have been a number of administrations, and civil service reform is a part of it, in which we have allowed the basic things to go unattended to.
I use the example, Hanno, for example, with HUD rules. I sit on the Housing Authority in Jefferson, so I've had the opportunity to go through the HUD rules from beginning to end. They're very strict. There's a lot of meat on the bones,
yeah,
a lot of teeth in their regulations. Historically, nobody ever wanted to enforce them. And look what happens when you start doing relationships, re-engineering of that. We have beautiful public housing that, and I've been curious, I've been watching to see if it stays that way. Mm-hmm. It has, because they got to be enforcing the
rules. Enforcement is enforcement, whether it's blight, whether it's traffic, whatever. If you don't have enforcement, it's a very slippery slope to the Wild West, whatever it is. I mean, you look at New Orleans East, you look at illegal dumping. If somebody's allowed to dump one or two tires, you come back in another month, you're going to find a field full of tires.
Yeah, it'd be thousands of tires. Yeah. But so, and I get what you're saying, you know, but do you believe that the council and the mayor has the political moxie to develop this culture of consuming political capital in his prioritization? You know, because the most, and I said this the other day, and I'll say it to you. I had access to a consultant that said, do you know what the most powerful word in a dictionary is? And, you know, I was like, never heard of this question before.
Right.
I don't know. What is it? What do you think it might be?
I have no idea.
He says no. The ability to say no.
Right.
Because it always comes back to this prioritization.
And you can't do everything.
And you can't do everything.
Right.
And, you know, so when we look back historically as to what has gone on in this city, I think we've had an inability to say no.
And you need it.
Do everything. We got to concentrate on the basic services first and get to a safe harbor. Are we ever going to get to 100% efficiency? No, nobody does. But you get to what I call that safe harbor where you're doing the blocking, the tackling, and you're getting and you're able to remediate problems in a relatively short period of time. It's not as immediate as some folks have an unreasonable expectation, I think, in many respects, if we're honest.
Of course, sure.
You know, it's
a microwave generation.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Do you believe that y'all have that, Moxie?
You know, if you'd asked me this the end of last term, I don't know what I would have said, but the combination of the ongoing billing disputes with Sewage and Water Board, people having high bills that they can't explain and won't figure out a way to effectuate. The fact that, you know, we still flood from time to time, the fact that we have hard rock looming and issues in safety and permits. I had a long talk with the mayor the other day, very candid conversation. I meet with my colleagues on a very regular basis. I think the will is there because I don't think we can survive if we don't. I think we may have reached a critical mass in so many areas that the word no is not just important anymore. There's not enough time or money to not use the word no more frequently. Even when you think about police detail and in terms of what people pay if they want to have a parade, any convention comes here, 20 people, they can have a parade and they can get a police detail. And the amount of money they pay the city to block a street, it's pennies. And we're going to have to start saying no to a lot of that because we need our police elsewhere. And we need more money for critical services. So I think the mayor and I think this council, due to circumstances, certainly, have reached that point.
Well, I was just curious. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I did.
I knew I was coming to WWL.
But I mean, you know, I think you gave a fair answer. I mean, the realities are it's hard to say no. You want to please people.
That's right.
They all have different and varying expectations. But I don't know that they really understand the fiscal crisis that the city finds themselves in.
That's right. It all adds up very, very quickly.
You know, and I feel for the leadership. I know people think that all I do is, and I said this to you before, there's a lot of different issues going on. I don't really like it because I'd rather be a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And I'd rather cheerlead for the community. You know, we try to always find those little nuggets where we can cheerlead for the community, but these things are just kind of slapping you in the face. And there's this constant current and theme that's running through this is that for years and years and decades, we've not funded this stuff.
Right.
And at some point in time, somebody's got to say, enough is enough. This is what we're going to do. We can't be all things to all people. We can't have, and I'm going to bring it up at the risk of upsetting my police friends. They hired a consultant that said you need 5 districts. We have 8.
Right.
You're supporting, you know, an administrative side of it and a supervisory side that has very few vacancies because they come up, they make them. But that leaves less Indians. And, you know, so I asked the question one day of a former chief. I said, why is there such a reluctance to do this? I actually police a larger landmass with 4 districts because I recognize, you know, the challenges of having so many.
Right.
It's hard to do it, to redo the boundaries, but you do it once you get it over with, and there's a huge upside to that. And the answer was, well, they have historic significance.
Yeah. Well, that I tell you, but you'd be surprised the number of times you'll get an answer like that, like this is how we did it last year and the 10 years before that. And, you know, just it's a simple analogy. When I was playing football, you know, we didn't win a lot of games at Tulane. And then a coach named Bouton came and he said, look, we don't have a lot of depth. We don't have a lot of size. What we got is speed. And so we have to change up our game plan.
Right.
And he did that and he went undefeated.
Yeah.
Same players as he had the year before. And that's what you're talking about, is looking at the unique situation, the topography and geography that we need to police, and think about doing it differently to get better results. And this is what we have to do in the juvenile court system. This is what we have to do with sewage and water board. You know, we can't keep patching up old turbines and think that that's going to get us where we need to get, because it costs us about $5 million to patch these things up. And you add up and you patch it up 5 times, you could have spent that money on a new turbine with a maintenance package.
Well, I asked the question because there's been any number of consultant after consultant after consultant come through, and I've read most of their reports. They all seem to be based in a good, sound, policy, programmatic way, but not much as it comes to execution.
How often does a consultant come in any area, prepare a expert report, and then what happens to that report? It lives on a shelf. If nobody adopts it, if nobody decides who will bake this cake and how we'll do it differently, then all you got is a really expensive bookend up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to get to another break. 260-1870 or text 870-870. We're talking to Jason Williams, city councilman at large, and he's also the chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee. We want to hear from you. Give us a shout. We'll be right back. We're back with Jason Williams, city councilman at large and chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee. You know, we've been talking about the fact that you guys divided up in these committees and y'all have been able to bring to the forefront a number of different issues. And actually, I think in a much more efficient way in many respects. And I don't mean this as a criticism to the mayor, but for whatever reason, she decided that she was going to throw the gauntlet down as to whether or not you guys had that authority. I went to the meeting that everybody got all up in arms and upset about, and I didn't find anything going on there that was obnoxious. And I've actually publicly said that I'm not seeing the council conduct itself in a way that is haphazard, reckless, you know, just looking to plant landmines and play the gotcha
right.
role. In fact, I think y'all have been very mature and measured about the way that you've gone about these things. And they use the word politicization. I said, well, if that's what you think that they've been doing, then we need more of that. Because I don't get where this is going.
We're going to be as measured as we can. I think that's what the people want. People don't like seeing their elected officials fighting.
No.
And we're going to collaborate. The administration and the council is going to collaborate on this thing moving forward. It is the only way to really get real answers. Clearly, nobody is going to protect wrongdoing at safety and permits or in any department, right? But you know, once you get to a situation like this, the public really needs to come out of this thing, because we're going to come out of this thing at some point. This building's going to come down, and the people that or the reason that was wrong. And I'm not a expert by any stretch of the imagination, but there certainly was some engineering issue here with how this thing was built. Either someone wasn't following a design, or it was a bad design. But there were folks that were supposed to be checking that along the way.
Yeah, right. I mean, these things don't happen
right
that often.
No, not new construction. This is not a blighted building.
You did
building.
Some research because you were looking, you know, as it related to the criticism of a council-led investigation.
Right.
You didn't find that many buildings that had collapsed in recent times.
Atlantic City and Philadelphia, and in one of those situations, one was being demolished, and the demolition caused that harm, right? But But you know, this no one could have expected this thing to happen, and I can tell you that the administration and the council are going to be working collaboratively in a measured way, with as much transparency as we can have, because the public needs to come out of this thing knowing that accountability was had and truth mattered.
When we talk about Hard Rock specifically, one of the things, the byproducts of you know, I guess a system that has a number of frailties in its reporting, it's amazing how much is coming out in the aftermath of this, in drips and drabs and drips and drabs that we're finding out about. Why do you think that is?
You know, it's tough. You mentioned something about an internal auditor a while ago when we were off air, and when you don't have protocols like that in place, there's a lot of moving parts. I mean, there's a lot that the mayor has to focus on. I tell you,
it's a very complex. I said this the other day. First off, that job doesn't pay enough.
I don't think there's not enough money.
Because when you
everything.
Think about how big the city is, and I'm not just saying this is just a function of money, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, bringing skill sets to these organizations, you got to pay people.
That's right.
And, you know, whether that be the head of safety and permits or otherwise, I mean, there needs to be commensurate compensation to get the best and the brightest in here, because these are very complex organizations under
right.
the city umbrella.
It's absolutely right. And when you have someone who is making a meager salary. This is just sort of a very bird's eye perspective. Somebody making a meager salary looking at $1 million development, several million dollar development. And
tens of millions.
Yeah. I mean, if they're not going into that with the requisite amount of experience and the requisite skill set, and they're just looking at this as checking off boxes.
Busy work.
Busy work.
No, you see, I used to get on people all the time. I said, I don't want busy work. I need you, and not moving papers from pile A to pile B. I need some independent
exactly
thinking
right.
going on
exactly
as
right.
you're processing these things.
Before a tragedy happens.
That's
before,
what I'm. That's what I'm paying you for.
Daily.
Not to move from
right.
pile A to pile B.
Right, right.
Because that's not your role. I mean,
right.
you know, but it just seems that keeps coming up.
It keeps coming up, and I think there's going to have to be a reset button. you know, across the board. And civil service reform, I know I keep going back to that. I think that has to be a part of it. Because there, I think you're going to hear there's some situations where, you know, where there's been efforts to reward good work of some people and get rid of some people that see this as busy work.
Well, I could sit here and recite stories of people that have been, I thought, rightfully terminated, that civil service compelled to be rehired.
That's a load of crap.
And I can tell you that at the JPSO, that would have never happened.
If you can't, if it doesn't fly in the private sector, it shouldn't fly in the public sector.
No, not at all.
The work is equally, and I might say in a lot of settings, when you talk about police work, you talk about safety and permits, I think it's more important because there's a lot of hardworking guys working on a job site, working on job sites at other sites right now. And if things are not being done that are supposed to be done on these job sites, then does that mean this could happen somewhere else? And until we answer all those questions, it could.
Yeah. We got to get to a break. We'll be right back for Jason Williams' final thoughts. Stay with us. We're back. Jason Williams joins us, city council member at large, chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee. First, I want to thank you. This got a lot broader than what you had agreed to come in, and you've not shirked any of these questions, and we appreciate the same, and I think the listening audience does as well. They just really want to hear from their elected officials, and I think this has been a great opportunity. I'm more confident, you know, the more that I talk to members of the council and otherwise, of the role that y'all have to play in this. And I said this, and it wasn't meant as a criticism of the mayor, but if I were mayor, I'd be looking for as many allies as I could possibly get my hands on, because this is a mess. Not all of it. In fact, the vast majority of it, she didn't create.
Oh no,
she inherited. No,
exactly. That's exactly right. These things were found after swearing in.
You know, I'd share the wealth. I'd have as many allies that are willing to stand up next to me as possible.
Right.
You know, and try and figure out how to cultivate that climate.
That's right. And look, at the end of the day, I'm going to support her because she is our mayor.
She's the mayor.
And I'm going to do everything I can to assist her in assisting the people of the city. That's what we get paid very little to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, folks are like, well, you know, you've been hard on the mayor. So, no, I'm hard on the issues. And, I mean, I try to drill down to the questions that need to be asked. It's not that I don't like individuals. I like everybody. I want everybody to succeed, but I mean, we got to look ourselves in the mirror critically every day, and understand where the deficiencies are, and if there are demands, it's demands for solutions.
Right, and look, the people deserve it. I mean, this issue is not one that we need to be living with for a year, right? Like you had Michael Heck on the show, his son Kai and my son Graham been best friends since they were toddlers. He goes around the whole country trying to sell this city so people will come here. And we do the same. If you got to explain five negative stories before you get to the good part.
To the positive one.
It's
right.
A very
it's
tough
It's hard
thing.
To be a cheerleader right. in that case, right?
Right? Yeah.
No, but you're right. I mean, you know, and I've always said this. It's a lot more fun cheerleading than it is, you know, standing on the sideline saying, what next?
That's why everybody's always smiling on Sunday at Saints game.
Yeah.
You finally get to do it in the middle of the week, at the end of the week.
Jason Williams, once again, thank you so much for coming in. We truly appreciate it. And we know you're busy, and we appreciate the time.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Today. All righty. And we'll have you back on again. Anytime you want to come on to talk about something, we welcome it. And
sounds good.
We're very nimble here. Hope you all appreciated this hour. Next hour, David Hammer joins us, WWL-TV investigative reporter. Go figure, we're going to get a follow-up to the inspector story with the Hard Rock Hotel collapse, so stay tuned.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.